The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, knowing the time that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel for the Mass today is taken from the gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the power of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you shall know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we see in the Gospel something that might seem a little bit out of place, perhaps, for those of you who pay attention to things a little bit, anyway, and we can have a memory that extends at least 1 week in duration, because the Gospel last Sunday was about the end of the world. And so we then look at the Gospel today, and we see the Gospel is about the end of the world. Might seem a little bit out of place, perhaps. Of course, we know that we consider the Gospel regarding the end of the world at the end of the liturgical year. It marks the completion of the cycle. And so we think that those are the last things, the idea of the final judgment. It's one of the last things. We look at the Gospel today, and we see that it talks about the end of the world, but it's for a different reason. It's a different reason, perhaps, because it has to do with the fact of how we need to live our lives. The idea of what we need to do and how we need to plan is based upon this. They say in philosophy that the last in execution is the first in intention. And that might seem rather cryptic to you. But what it means in practice is that when you intend to do something, you make all of the plans necessary and go about all the necessary things for a task until it finally is completed. If you plan, for instance, a long journey, and you want to get to a destination because you want to reach some place. Say, for instance, you have a trip over to Europe that is in mind. You have to think about all of the things that are necessary, that are going to be required for this journey, and how you're going to arrive there. And so you have to make the proper accommodations, you make the certain plans, you raise the funds necessary, you make sure that you have the funds set aside, you make sure that you have whatever it is you need to take with you, the clothing, the other things that you need for, you know, toiletries and all the other kinds of things that you need to take with you. You know, you have to think about whether or not it's going to be cold or hot, what all the things that are necessary for that journey, for that trip to reach that destination. And so we are here at the beginning of the liturgical year. And we have to think about what it is that we're going to do in order to reach the destination, which is our final end. our ultimate final end, which is, of course, our eternity, which we trust and hope will be in heaven. We have to think about what it is that we need to do in order to accomplish that. And so because of that, the church puts before our eyes the final judgment so that we think about this event as we plan in order to reach that goal, to reach that destination. We are here in the first Sunday of Advent, and of course, it's good for us to think about it. It's the first Sunday of the liturgical year. It's liturgically, it's a new year. And we have to think about what we are going to be doing, at least for the next few weeks, as a preparation. You know, we have in mind our ultimate goal, which is heaven, and we have to think about what we need to do, the steps we need to take during these next few weeks as we prepare, as we work towards that goal. The season of Advent is a very important season of the year. It's it was established early in the time of the church. It's meant for us, the word itself means coming. This is coming, meant to be a time in which we consider and we think about the coming of our Lord. The coming of our Lord, the time when we think about his coming and the need for his coming. We know that at the very beginning that Adam and Eve sinned. They committed a serious sin, and that sin is such that the entire human race shares in that sin. It's a sin of those of our first parents. And we share in that because they are our first parents. Adam and Eve are the first parents of all of us. And because we share in that sin, and because we are such that we are involved in it, then there's a certain consequence that's involved. Certain consequence for us. And of course, had our Lord not come to repair that damage done, we would be incapable of reaching heaven. Impossible for us to go to heaven because of that first sin. And so it was, of course, Adam and Eve were, of course, cast out of paradise. They were told that they would have to suffer much, and that all of their offspring would also have to suffer much for it. But to give them some hope so that they wouldn't totally despair, and out of the goodness of the God, he gives to us a way out, a way to save man from his eternal damnation. He says that he will send a redeemer. He will send a redeemer to redeem mankind from his sins. And so the Jews who were the promise, they were the chosen people. They were people that were given the promise. They, of course, looked for and hoped for the coming of the Redeemer. And throughout the time, the 4,000 years of the Old Testament, there were certain prophets that were sent to them to explain to them and to enumerate to them some details regarding the Messiah who was to come. And so they looked forward to that. They much looked forward to that time because they knew that they needed to be redeemed. They knew that the sin of Adam and Eve was such that they were in part guilty of that because of the fact that we are children of Adam and Eve. And they looked forward to the coming of the Redeemer. And they prepared for the coming of the Redeemer for 4,000 years. It's an amazing thing that they waited and waited and waited for this time, for this period of time. So we ourselves, during this time of Advent, need to prepare. We need to prepare for the coming of our Lord. And it's a spiritual preparation that we need to have. It's not a time to have great celebrations, contrary to popular practice. You know, in a modern world today, that doesn't want to have much to do with our Lord, who maybe just gives him a token acknowledgement. They really don't want to they don't want to deal with the fact that our Lord came, and he came in order to redeem mankind from his sins. And so he is such that somehow during this time of Advent, they try to cover it up, gloss it over. Even the time of Christmas, it's covered over as best as they can. What do they cover it over with? Well, they cover it over with certain things. For instance, they like to have parties and celebrations, friends and family and relatives gather together and celebrate. They celebrate Christmas. But they don't want to acknowledge the reason for our Lord's coming, and they want to have a big celebration without preparation. Without preparation. And, of course, they exchange gifts, all these kinds of things. And so parties and gifts and friends and family and celebrations, and they would just want to be happy. Well, and you might ask me, Father, why would that be something that's bad? I mean, it seems good. Are you just... are you just trying to be a spoil sport? Are you just trying to destroy the fun and the happiness that people want to have? That's not the point. It's not the point. It's not that what they're doing is anything wrong in itself. The fact is that it glosses over and covers over what actually should be happening. Think about the mind of the church. There's a reason why the priest is dressed, he has vestments in violet. There's this longing for the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah is not here. The matter is that man has committed sin and it requires the coming of the Messiah. And so he has to do a little bit of reflection upon his coming, the purpose of his coming, and what he needs to do in order to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. There's a spiritual side of it which should predominate. It should predominate, and it should be primary in what we do. And if it's not predominant, there's something wrong. The whole purpose of our Lord's coming is to make up for the sins of mankind. And man is such that he has to acknowledge that need and realize that that's why our Lord is coming. And not only does he have to realize that's the reason for his coming, then he has to do something about it. He has to do something about it, because even if our Lord comes to take away the sins of mankind, if he doesn't detach himself from the sin, if he doesn't work to open up his heart and soul to God, you lose sight of what you need to be doing. You miss the point. And of course, our Lord's coming is fruitless if we don't dispose ourselves to him to make use of the graces that he comes to provide for us by his coming. And so there's this time of preparation. This time of preparation, as I say, the priest is dressed in violet, so you understand there's a time that we need to prepare. We need to do some reflection. We need to pray. We need to spiritually make ourselves ready for the coming of our Lord. And the joy that we have is, firstly and foremostly, when Christmas does come, is the fact that our Lord has come. The shepherds on the first Christmas, when they came to the stable, they didn't think that they're going to have a great celebration and have parties. They went to the stable. They went to see our Lord. They went and actually went to see him, and they were jubilant because they saw the Messiah. That's what the joy consists in. It's not in being with family and friends. Being with family and friends is a good thing. I'm not knocking it. But it should be such that the family and friends get together to be together and enjoy the fact that our Lord is now with us. He has come. He wants to be with us. It's also during this preparation, too, as you can see, the mind of the church and this time of preparation, that we actually refrain from a lot of celebration. There are two times of the year, two periods of the year, that the church says that there should not be weddings and wedding celebrations. It's during Lent and during Advent. It shows you the mind of the church. If we're trying to prepare for the coming of our Lord, if we're trying to do this, we need to focus our attention on the fact that we need to prepare for his coming, and we need to think about why he came, which is equally important. We need to spend this time in order to do this so that we make good use of what graces God wants to give to us. The graces that God gives to us are proportioned to our dispositions. If we don't have the dispositions, we receive very little. If we busy ourselves with all kinds of other things that are of secondary importance or are meant to be accessory and they make them primary, we make it so that it's not possible for God to give us his precious gifts of his grace. We spend all this time during Advent, many people do, thinking about what they're going to do to give gifts to others, which is not a bad thing. But unfortunately, we don't spend very much time in thinking about what kind of gifts do we want to bring to our Lord. He is the one who is coming to us, and he is the one to whom we actually owe everything. We need to, of course, turn our mind and our attention, our focus, to him. You must also realize, too, that the Jews of the Old Testament who were waiting for the coming Messiah, that they must have wanted and desired him with a great desire because of the fact that they waited for him for so long. They waited for 4,000 years. And it went from generation to generation who they would pass from generation to generation telling the succeeding generation that the Messiah was going to come. God promised that. We are in expectation for that to come. And they would even listen to the prophets and see, when is he coming? Where is he coming? How is he coming? And so as we go through this season of Advent, don't get lost by all of the accessory things that are not really a part of Advent at all, which many tried to cover up this whole situation, because if they thought about it seriously, they'd have to do something about it. You see, if you cover it over and if you make it so that you don't really consider all of the essentials of the season of Advent, we don't have to really work too hard to do anything. There's not this element of looking in the mirror and looking at ourselves and saying, what do I need to do in order to prepare myself for the coming of the Messiah? We kind of can gloss it all over, and we don't have to consider it. We don't have to think about it. And so during this time, this first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the liturgical year, let us think about what it is we need to do during this Advent and start to take steps to make that a reality, so that we can, through these 4 weeks, these special 4 weeks, ready ourselves, prepare ourselves, dispose ourselves to the graces that God wants for us, so that we can actually truly and really appreciate and enjoy the real joy of Christmas, which is meant for us, which is meant to be, which is meant for us in order that we might take that great joy in being with our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.